Hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's show. I'm your host, Lisa Anderson, celebrating the 200th episode of The Boundless Show. Can you even believe it? Can you believe it has gone on this long? I don't know. We'll have to get your feedback on this one. You'll have to write to us. We have a show sponsor this week, so very appreciative for them. It is the What If Movie, found at thewhatifmovie.com. It is a comedic family film portraying an inspirational story about a greedy business executive who discovers how different life would have been had he followed God's plan for his life. I don't know if this is a Christmas movie. We'll have to find that out. Later on in the show, we have Candace here, how appropriate for our 200th episode, answering a question from a girl, also appropriate, about a relationship, also appropriate. But really, it's a relationship that hasn't quite taken off. She just likes this guy, but doesn't know what to do in that awkward in-between time. So, of course, Candace has something to say on that. And then, very excited about our culture segment, because Andy Stanley, many of you listened to his podcast, many of you followed his Love, Sex, and Dating series. He is here to talk about his book, Enemies of the Heart. So we're going to discuss that and kind of some of those common enemies, including greed and guilt and other things that kind of threaten to steal our joy. So he's going to talk to me about that. That'll be good going into Christmas. And here we are in our round table, just three of us, the remnant. Martha is here. Martha, hey.
Hello, Lisa.
Very pleased to have you here at the table. And also, we let him out of the cage, Dave Sockel. Dave, our engineer extraordinaire, is here. Oh, he gave a woohoo. That's exciting. So thanks.
I'm just glad to be out of the box.
Can you do the woohoo one more time?
I don't think so.
Oh, man. It's very disappointing. But we're going to reminisce on these past 200 episodes of the show. And then also I'm going to be joined by our video contest winner, another Boundless fan, as well as a fun guy that we just picked up along the way because he emailed us and he's a recent convert to all things Boundless, especially the show. And so it'll be fun to talk to him. But okay, we have to open this up by thinking, okay, 200 shows, January 2008 was our first show. Neither of you were here then. Well, I mean, you were here, but neither of you were part of the show specifically at that point.
That's right. Technically, I've been at Focus for a long time, but I've left a couple of times and come back.
You have,
dude. And I had just come back the second time.
Yes.
And I was doing orientation that week, and I was not part of the show, but I started week two.
Did you hear about it? And you were like, what is this Boundless show, and is it ever going to survive?
It was part of the interview process.
Oh, okay.
You know? That you guys were launching this, Jeff, okay. Kaler, who had originated the show,
yep, and created our little sting,
or yeah,
our
the stinger at the open and close,
stinger and our theme show. I think just on like some random synthesizer he had,
basically. Probably so.
That's how, because you know we pay the big bucks around here.
That's right.
For these high quality professionals to come in and do stuff like that. But interestingly enough, he himself is now a high quality professional, but he had to move out of the country to Hong Kong. But we've played his music on the show, very popular bumper music from,
yes,
Jeff Kaler. We love his stuff. So Dave joined the fray and has been here ever since, and occasionally is grumpy, but usually has good humor. So
yes, sometimes I would say it depends on the day, you know, what's happening.
He's kind of our curmudgeonly friend that, you know, sometimes has something snarky to say and we just take it in and embrace it and pray for him.
I think usually I have something snarky to say.
That's very true, because he's married. How long have you been married, Dave?
I've been married coming up on 22 years.
Oh, my goodness. And his wife actually went to junior high with me, which is very interesting. She was a year ahead of me, I think, a year or two ahead of me. But I remembered her. As soon as he mentioned her, I remembered her. And so here we are back in the same circle again. Craziness.
Yeah, and I don't think you and I knew that until I started working on the Boundless show. So
yeah,
when we
so.
Worked together before, mm-hmm, Boundless, we didn't even know that. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting.
Well, when we worked together before, I didn't even do anything with broadcasting.
No,
so I didn't,
you didn't
even
like
come
us.
Down here. I didn't care. You had your own ministry. I didn't care about it. I was doing other things. You know, whatever. So crazy, crazy stuff. And Martha, you listened to the show.
I did. I was actually...
In pieces.
Yeah. I was working at Focus when it all started with, mm-hmm, a different department, and was listening on the side and download a whole bunch for trips on my iPod. And so I was secretly
We give
listening.
You credit for that.
Okay.
Even if you listen in chunks, we still give you credit.
What was the first episode you listened to?
I do remember the whole gun thing from the first episode.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
That was
We're still not sure what I was talking about there. So, yes, when that picture fell in my living room, it was a scary time for me. So, yeah. So you remember the first episode, and then you kind of chunked it up then.
Yeah.
Because there were some singles over there on the Brio staff in that area of the building. So.
Yeah, kind of always wondered when would be my chance to be a guest, and was never asked.
And
so, oh, well.
Oh.
That's okay, Martha. Me neither. But,
bless your heart.
And look at us now.
I know. Yeah. Now you're just a regular. Could you believe it? Look what God did. So regular and still single. Guys, remember that. Just saying. I always try to give shouts out to people when, you know, when it's needed. I know. So I'm just saying, I have no shame in trying to hook people up. I tried to come up with someone else for Martha this morning, so I'm going to work on it. I'm going to see what happens. So
very nice.
People are always just rattling around in my head. They're in my sphere. So I try to make mention of that. Okay. So Dave, you were telling us that you have a couple moments, even though you probably listen to the Boundless show more than anyone else, because not only do you listen to it being recorded, but then you have to go through and cull through all the edits and make sure it flows seamlessly, which it always does. I mean, have you ever had a show that you worked on that you had to edit less than ours?
No.
Yeah.
No.
Because things just trip off our tongue because we're amazing. We have amazing things to say.
Yeah. This is the most real of the shows I've ever worked on.
Most real.
It's like reality radio.
It is. We put our stuff out there and we're not ashamed to say it. That's right. What I say. So, yeah. Sometimes I've gone back and I've said, why did I say that? And why did I invite people into that portion of my life? I'm not saying there hasn't been maybe some wisdom that maybe I could have exercised in sharing any particular thing, but... it is real.
Well, sometimes when I listen back to them, I also wonder, why did I leave that in? But, you know, it is what it is.
Oh, it is. And people love us for it, I'm sure. So there is that. And Martha, of course, had to grapple with that coming and being part of the show because she was not used to just putting her whole life on display. So that was a very...
Yeah, Martha was kind of slow in the revealing process as we got...
Do you think I've graduated?
It's gotten a little, you know, you've gotten louder. You've gotten, you've shared more. Yeah. I think that's fair to say.
Yeah, I think she has too. She's more of a, she'll think ahead and she'll prepare something and think of, you know, what could I share in this? Sometimes I will do that too, but then I won't even share it. I'll just come up with something totally different to share. You never know what I'm going to share usually because it may just be stream of consciousness. So,
well, I think last week's show, didn't you mention that something about turkey farms?
Oh, that's true.
Is that
revealing my childhood? Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm still just blessed by the image of a Christmas photo that Martha shared during one of her blog posts, a family Christmas photo on the farm with the turkeys gathered around them. Part of
their family.
They're
family.
I know.
Not really.
No, it's like that guy. Okay, someone who was telling me about the guy on Hoarders. I think it was my sister. There was a guy that had 2,000 rats in his house, pet rats.
Oh, my goodness.
And he told the authorities, he said, I think I have 200, but they counted almost 2,000. But he knew them all. Like, he had many of them named, and he knew them from one another. Side note. Okay, Dave, you had some favorite episodes of the 200 that you have heard and been part of, a couple that stood out. What are they?
Well, the first one that I came across was story of your friends Aaron and Blythe. Mm-hmm. That was about a year ago. Mm-hmm. And I remember as we were recording that it's one of those sessions where time just flew by. It's all of a sudden it was 45 minutes and I look down at the clock and I'm wondering, okay, what am I going to do with this? Because that's a little long. And we cut it in half and aired it over 2 weeks, but it was just a fantastic story. Mm-hmm. Really good guests.
Mm-hmm. They were a lot of fun. I mean, I know even as because I got to see their whole story unfold, and it's one of those ones that it doesn't come along very often. It was one of those where I was like, this is crazy, and I wonder how it's going to end. Because really, I mean, there was just it's almost a little weird Pride and Prejudice, like antipathy on the front end. They didn't even like each other and, you know, whatever. We've actually gotten a lot of feedback on that segment. People were very encouraged by it, especially I think it was the end of the interview where they just had a lot of candor about what it means to be in a marriage and really laying down yourself, you know, in the process of that. And the whole idea of, yeah, you know, marriage, you go for it and you make it happen and what you learn in the process. So I appreciated that. Okay, what else?
Yeah, and the other episode that I really remember is from a long time ago, and it was about camping. singles mm-hmm. group was going camping. And I just remember there was a lot of conflict in the studio mm-hmm. about whether it was okay or not okay to go camping mm-hmm. together.
Because one of my friends was going camping and I had called her out on that and we had a little tiff over it. She was going camping with her boyfriend, actually. So
just the two of them?
It was just the two of them, but her argument was they were going to like this festival, so they were going to be around a lot of people. And I'm like, you're not going to have other people in your tent with you?
But that discussion also kind of also went into, you know, what if the whole single group goes camping, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And
it was like dating quandaries,
right.
I think was mm-hmm. the title of the segment. So it was all different issues of like things that would come up that... Yeah, because I tend to be, and I've shared this in other segments, that I tend to be the heavy among my group of friends. I'm the one that comes after people and is like, that's not okay. And then people are like, what? Why is that not okay?
Always throwing things down.
I'm always throwing things down. I'm always going after the women who have maybe not quite the most modest clothing. And I'm the one that's the designated driver in, can you please go tell her about her outfit? So there's going to be a special jewel in my crown for that, let me tell you, for those confrontations that I've had to have. So, Martha, any highs?
Well, I remember just the fun of hearing from guys of what do they talk about relationships, you know, behind closed doors of mm-hmm. never banging in that world.
They don't until we ask them. We make them come on the show and then they're like, oh, I have to think about this.
But I think that's just one thing that's been fascinating to me about the podcast, to really hear what they're thinking and where they're coming from. And it has helped make it a little bit more sense in my mind, too, mm-hmm. rather than just saying, what on earth? Like, they're crazy, but... Mm-hmm. I can't think of a specific episode, but there's been guys a lot on the show.
So. And some of the ones, like I remember, especially on the online dating roundtable with the guys, where I was very impressed by a couple of things that the guys said, where you feel like, oh, yeah, guys are just super confident or they don't care or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they really did share, you know, yeah, this is a concern for me or something that makes me nervous or something that I fear or whatever. I think as I've been thinking of 200 episodes, one thing that people probably don't realize, so I thought I would share it, is that I'm sure you think that every time you hear an interview here on The Boundless Show, you just think that I'm super excited about these people and I know everything about them. That is not the case.
You're bursting my bubble.
I know. Sometimes I come down to an interview and I'm like... First of all, I know virtually nothing about this person. Well, sometimes we'll get interview opportunities where people are just breezing through and it's literally like, in 20 minutes, do you want to go interview this person? And I'm like, sure, we'll just grab them while they're here. And I don't know anything and I'll just print up a bio or something or try to figure out what they're talking about. Or they have like a book and maybe I just haven't had the chance to read the whole book. Maybe I've just skimmed it or maybe someone's just thrown it at me and I've just had to look at it and I've been like, okay, what's this about? And I'm not very excited. Or a band, because we know I'm very particular about my music. You know, it just runs in certain veins. So, but then there have been so many of those where I've been like, some of the ones that people I have not known at all or not cared about, I've started talking to them and I've been like, this is pretty rockin'. And they've had something super cool to say. I know the interview I did with Linda Smith on sex trafficking, a former congresswoman from Washington State, went into that just knowing that it would be good content and knowing it was an important interview, but just feeling like, is this something I really care about? And remembering I was kind of in tears in that one. And she brought one of the girls that she'd rescued from a brothel in Nepal in with her, and she shared a little of her story. So that was huge. Some of the bands, when I interviewed Russia Fools, I was like, who are these guys? They just look like they're about 17.
In
don't know anything
jeans.
About them. In skinny jeans and ballet flats, which was not okay. Hi, guys, if you're listening. But they had super substantive things to say, loved the show, and were very fun to talk to and very open about their ministry and just what they're learning and stuff. So that was cool. And I've seen them a couple times since. So a couple highlights for me. And obviously just meeting... you know, meeting cool people that I would not have thought I would have met before, whether bands or whether some of the big players, some of the theologians, and of course, even Andy Stanley for this week's show. It was fun that we finally got to talk to him. And I'm always trying to champion Boundless to these folks. Like, are you telling your singles about Boundless?
Well, and Bill Gaither.
And Bill Gaither, which Dave and I had to scuttle over to the World Arena here in Colorado Springs. I called him up and I'm like, Dave, we've got to go. And we ran. He grabbed the equipment and we went and got some a cappella songs from Signature Sound from those guys
That's
who are a little closer to our demographic than Bill himself. But Very fun. Yeah. And it's funny because people, in fact, my sister a few weeks ago was telling me something like, you know, I wish I had your job, you know, where you just, it's like all you do is just talk to interesting people. Like that's all I do. You know, that's in my job.
Not true.
But it's not true. Yeah. Sometimes I'm just signing contracts and doing stuff, budgets. But it is a fun part of my job for sure. So any hopes for heading into 2012, you two?
Well, I really like, and I know this is going to continue in 2012, but I really like what Martha's done with getting artists to actually sign contracts with us to let us play their music. You know, one of the things that we did early on, we tried to have interesting music on the show. And at one point, I went to Nashville for an indie artist conference just to try and get indie artists to release their music to us to let us play it. Play on the show. And you know, we don't do that anymore. We haven't had an indie artist. I don't know how long you've been on this.
Almost a year.
Almost
in January.
A year. So 11 months. So yeah, I think that's,
though if we hear about one and we get their stuff,
oh absolutely,
you know, we're totally all over it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. But we, you know, not having a lot of resources to go, you know, find stuff, you know, we weren't having artists send us stuff. We had to try and find things, and indie artists are easier to deal with than record labels. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Martha's just done a really good job mm-hmm. of getting the record labels to respond.
And it is a back end thankless job that requires phone calls and emails and contracts and yeah, for those little clips that you're hearing in between the segments for sure. So, yeah.
I'm excited about some guests we have hopefully coming in 2012.
I am too.
Can I say some, or should we leave it a secret?
Oh, totally should say it.
Yeah, say it. So potentially.
Potentials, yes. These are not locked in.
We're mm-hmm. hoping to get Mark Driscoll mm-hmm. and Tim Keller, John Acuff, and Judd, is it Wilhite? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, those are a few authors.
Yes, very cool people. And in fact, because, you know, we're just hitting the big time, I may actually travel to talk to them personally, a couple of them. So
yeah,
because, you know, it's part of my championing the Boundless cause. I must see the whites of their eyes. So if we can swing that, that's going to be fun. That'll be good. So and also, we do want to tell people if they have, you know, sometimes you guys out there are our best reconnaissance. So if you have any great guest ideas, please send them to us. Either throw them up on Facebook or send them to us at editor@boundless.org because we're excited about moving ahead into the new year with the show, or any other suggestions you have. We're probably going to be doing, we're also looking forward to the relaunch of our brand and our website, Lord willing, sometime in 2012. Should be coming up here within the next few months. So that'll be exciting. We are in meetings all the time waiting for that. And the podcast is a big part of that. I don't know if I've said yet, do we know that our average download per episode is 39,000? So 39,000 downloads.
That's
and growing.
That's big stuff. Yeah. And growing. So tell your friends. Yeah. In fact, we got our, I also want to give a shout out for Christmas cards. Martha and I decided as we walked down here that we want to solicit Christmas cards from you, and we're going to put them up. We're going to build a wall near our area. We got our first one today from Grant Young. Grant Young said he has not missed a podcast yet. Hey, Grant. He is toiling out in Boston as an anesthesiologist, which is very exciting work. I don't even know how he has time to listen to podcasts because don't they work like 80 hours a week if that, you know, and they just, I don't know. It's crazy, crazy stuff. So
probably just listens during surgery.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Put it on. Yeah. Grant, when you're in a surgery, put it on and let other people listen to it. Maybe it'll improve their work or something. So we'll see. Well, thanks, you guys. Any other closing thoughts before we go? Show 200 episodes coming up on 4 years. 200 episodes, four years. It's unbelievable. And I said this in a blog post recently that I couldn't believe that when I sat down here and gave hosting the show a try, that I would still be talking over 4 years. Martha and Dave can believe that.
You really have a gift for it, Lisa. Having...
Thank you.
The talking thing.
I enjoy it. It's fun. I love talking to people. I love getting to know people and learning new things. So makes it a good fit. And of course, all of it wouldn't happen without you, our faithful listeners. So we love you. And we're going to talk to a couple other friends now coming up. Well, hey, folks, next up, we have a new friend to the Boundless Fold. His name is Tim Schellenberg. Tim, welcome.
Glad to be here.
And I say you're new because you wrote us a really fun email that we thought was super cute. And we're so excited when we hear of folks that have stumbled upon Boundless or gotten to start reading our stuff or listening to our podcasts. And Tim wrote to us this just earlier, a few weeks ago. And he said, I've spent a lot of time reading and listening to the stuff that you post on your site. No, seriously, I spent my summer listening to at least 150 podcasts. So you could say I'm a big fan. I'm a single 22-year-old male, and I go to a Christian university in Canada. I'm in my second year after taking 3 unproductive years off between high school and college. And then he puts in parentheses. I thought this was awesome. Sorry, I only started reading Boundless the past year and a half. We're going to forgive you for your unproductive years. I'm working toward a film major in hopes of either teaching it myself or working on faith-based projects. I also attend an all-male Bible study group that was started shortly after high school. Thanks to you guys, I've built up a more biblical view of marriage, and thanks to my Bible study, I'm learning how to present that view to others in a positive manner. So how was it, Tim, that you actually heard about Boundless?
I had actually been stumbling around for a while before, just trying to find something for my age demographic that was more faith-based than worldly-based, and kind of tips on dating because, well, I suck at it, so.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know, we could all use tips on dating. That is awesome. Those of us that are single, that's some good stuff. So it was specifically the dating stuff that you were looking for, obviously trying to get out of the, like, you know, the GQ and Cosmo advice that's out there on the internet and in magazines.
Fortunately, I never went there.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, it was more to, just more dating advice and stuff like that. Like I said, my views were slightly different before I found the show, so.
Okay. Did you grow up in a Christian home?
Did
you
grow I did.
Up? Okay, yeah. So why do you think your views were so messed up?
My family's very marriage-based, mm-hmm. and it was kind of weird that I'm not married at 22, hmm. so I really feel the pressure mm-hmm. to kind of get out there.
Yeah, but probably not getting a lot of encouragement from people around you, because generally the culture and stuff, I mean, that's kind of what we find here at Boundless.
Mm-hmm.
A little sketchy. Yeah. Okay. I hear you. That's a little bit of my story too. So you seriously, like, how in the world did you manage to listen to 150 podcasts over the course of the summer? Because we're talking about, like, literally almost 4 years of content here.
Well, I had 4 months to do it in, so.
Okay. Just like nonstop. What do you have? Just like an iPod? I mean, did you just put your headphones in or?
Both iPod and just listening to it on my computer. And I didn't have a ton of work during the summer, so it made it a little bit easier.
Okay. And tell us a few of your highlights during the course of listening to the show.
Surprisingly, the Duggars was actually a really good one.
Okay.
I wasn't really anticipating it to be that great because, well, reality TV and everything, so.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really good one for the podcast. The Wheatons was definitely a highlight, listening to both the before and after. I'd actually listened to the after first.
Okay.
And that was part of the reason I started looking into the older ones.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah, the story, the final chapter of their story of 31 years of knowing each other before getting married. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Oh. They're friends of mine. I'll have to tell them that. They'll be excited to hear that.
Yeah, outside of that, a lot of the blogs and stuff have been really useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you mentioned Adams recently.
Yeah, that was definitely a really good timing on that one for me. So.
Okay, yeah, that I think that was encouraging to a lot of guys, kind of the balance between being overeager and not intentional enough on that front. So, well, cool. What would you say? I mean, is there anything specific that you've heard on the show that has really changed your opinion on something? I mean, a lot of people listen casually and they'll say, you know, oh yeah, you know, that was good or that was, but maybe some of it's a blur. But is there anything where you were like, wow, this is something I hadn't thought about before?
Well, I can relate to the blur part.
Mm-hmm.
150 episodes kind of blur by.
Uh-huh.
When you guys did these smorgasbords of either the single guys or the single women, that just really helped to just kind of get some thoughts from the other side for when you did the women, and just kind of balance out everything that I'd been reading. It's kind of the combination between the reading and the listening that really was effective.
Yeah. And that's what Martha just said earlier here on the segment. She was talking about how hearing a guy's perspective was helpful to her, you know, because it's not often that we sit down with the opposite sex and say, so, you know, tell me what you really think. It's kind of hard to get that perspective, I guess. But
yeah, I wonder why that is.
I don't know. You need to start doing it there with your college friends. and see. Now, I know, have you introduced any friends to Boundless yet?
I talk about it a lot. My Bible study can definitely attest to that.
Mm-hmm.
When I say
they're like, are we studying the Bible or are we studying Boundless?
Well, yeah, it's come to the point anytime I said I've read something, they're like, oh, where's this from? So they definitely know about you guys, and some of them have listened to you because of questions they've had. So,
oh, good.
And I try and talk about it at school whenever topics of dating and marriage and stuff come up, and their views are more of the worldly side of things, and
try to
expand it a little bit. And
yeah. Well, we love our Canadian listeners. We hear from you guys a lot. So, and I know it's fun to, you know, I mean, technically, you know, you're our neighbors and stuff, but still, it's fun to kind of give you guys a shout out and know that great things are happening up there too. And so that's kind of fun to see. But well, awesome. Any hopes for 2012 for us, or anything you think we should focus on?
Probably doing another one of those single smorgasbords with the guys and women. I think that would be really useful.
Okay.
Maybe even doing it where they cross question each other about questions.
Okay.
Kind of leading the way for everybody else to try and do it at their, with their friends.
Okay. Or what about just outright confrontation? Because I could get into that too. Like where it becomes like a Jerry Springer or a Tyra Banks show and we just get all crazy fist fights.
That would be entertaining.
We could videotape it. Maybe we'll have
ratings would spike.
We'll have you come down for that one, maybe, and be a part of it. Represent, you know, some of our younger folks. So,
well, if you're willing to pay the way, I'll definitely come.
We'll consider it. We'll see. Maybe we'll have a large donor that will step in and fund that. So, well, Tim, you keep listening. Thank you so much for being willing to join the fray of Boundless. I had just mentioned earlier in the segment that we're looking at 39,000 downloads per episode, and you are now one of those. So that's very exciting. Continue to tell your friends and continue to stay in touch, because we want it to be a really fun source of community for folks out there. So, and do come and visit us at some point. You got to, you know, I mean, I don't know, just grab some of your friends and make a trip to the Colorado Rockies.
All right. Well, if I find the time, I will.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Tim.
Thank you.
All right. Well, next up, I have on the phone Emily Lyons. Emily, hello.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, it's great to hear from you. Emily is joining us by phone from California, Southern California, a friend of the Boundless Show and Boundless in general, and the winner of our 200th episode video contest. So congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I know. Well, I have to say, when Martha sent the video over, I was watching it and just cracking up. You, of course, had a starring role in it. That was very fun.
I did.
But it was so cute just to see your, how did you get these people? Were these friends of yours that you got to be part of it?
Yeah, actually, I'm a part of the Navigators group here at Cal State Long Beach. And so I just recruited people that I knew who would be willing and would do a good job in it. And I don't know that any of them are familiar with Boundless, but I pretty much just told them, okay, here's what you're going to do. And you're not going to understand, especially with the girl at the end, you're not going to understand what you're doing, but it's okay. Just do it.
Well, she needs to get clued in. She needs to realize, what if that's really her story? That's not good. She needs to get into the Boundless fold.
Really benefit her.
It was so good. I appreciated the, you know, the journey of Mr., you know, trying to be intentional as he learned what it meant to, you know, start a relationship and get into one. That was pretty cute. That was good. So,
right.
But yeah, they did look a little taken aback. So maybe they'll be able to apply those, you know, in the future. So that was super cute. We will have everyone that video up on our site, so you'll be able to see it and you know, certainly pass it along, because it is instructive as well as fun. So
definitely.
Now I neglected to mention that I have actually met Emily through a fun series of events when I was out and about doing some focus group work here in the States earlier this year. And we did a focus group in Southern California, and Emily happened to be part of it. So a focus group surrounding our brand. And for the new site that we'll be launching now this coming year. And Emily was there, and I was, I think I've described this a little bit before, generally what happened. It was a group that was moderated by a person that we had hired to do it, an objective moderator. And then I was behind this one-way glass listening into everyone's responses. And everyone had to introduce themselves in the beginning. And one of the questions that was asked was, what are you doing to help yourself, or would you consider yourself helping yourself move towards marriage. And when we talk to groups that were not familiar with Boundless, usually people would say, oh, you know, I don't know, I meet people, or I'm not really, you know, doing a lot right now. And when that question was posed to the group Emily was in, Emily spoke up right away and she said, well, she said, I read Boundless and I'm in a navigators group and I have a mentor couple and I have, and I turned to the person next to me and I said, Emily could be our PR person. And it was just like hilarious how you have definitely, you know, taken on and embraced what Boundless has to say about, you know, moving forward biblically in relationships and preparing yourself for marriage and all of that. How long have you been reading and listening to Boundless, Emily?
I'm not really sure. I know that I kind of grew up with Focus on the Family for sure, as far as visiting and going down the Big Green Slide and listening to Adventures in Odyssey, reading Clubhouse, reading Brio and Beyond. And then I think I probably started reading Boundless before I was supposed to. Mm-hmm. I think I started maybe when I was like, I don't know, 16 or 17 or something, and just kept on. So it's probably been at least about 8 years now that I've been doing that. And then I know I didn't listen to the Boundless podcast when it first came out and stuff. I think I was just content with reading the articles. But eventually I listened to it, and I've just completely benefited from especially the articles, but also the podcast. It's a lovely way to spend my exercise time at our rec center here.
We find that a lot of people do that. They either put it on while they're running or while they're in the gym, or we have some people that say every week when I do my laundry, I listen to the show. So we can be people's companions as they're just going through life. So that's kind of fun. So any major, like, what have been your biggest game changers as far as being associated with Boundless, and just anything that's really struck you that has been like, this is something I'm going to actually apply to my life?
Definitely. And the biggest way that Boundless has impacted me is just in being intentional, just being very intentional about the way that I live my life, and particularly my strong desire to be married and have children. Just from, I think, especially some of the initial articles that Candace had on, you know, it being okay to want to get married and having that, seeing that as a good desire given from God. And that was just wonderful to have that permission to come before God and say, Lord, I see that you've created this to be a good thing, and it's a good thing that you intend for most believers. And being able to pray boldly before God and trust that I know he's able to bring this about if it's his plan for me. And so in just being able to do some things intentionally on my own other than praying about it, which is definitely the most important part of it. But I know that at the end of my undergrad experience, I wasn't where I wanted to be. I would have loved to have been engaged and getting ready to be married, but that did not happen. And but it definitely influenced my choice of grad school, because I wasn't getting married, so why not go to grad school? But basically, I had two options. I got into one program here at Long Beach, which was a master's program. Some debt would be involved, but not too much because state subsidized. And then there was another program. It was a PhD program at a private university. And I just knew that I'd probably leave with the upwards of $150,000 in debt or possibly more. And it'd be a 6-year program. And I felt very confident in my decision that I wanted to be married, and I didn't want to end school, putting my family at $150,000 in the hole, and planning to stay at home and not be able to work that out off necessarily. So I definitely decided on the master's program, and I was completely satisfied with that. And I believe it was probably less intensive and has given me the opportunity to really get plugged into a church. I found one. It was the first one that I tried when I moved down here to Long Beach, and I didn't see anything doctrinally wrong with it. So I figured that anything that maybe I didn't care for as much, it was kind of a preferential matter, and it wasn't a good enough reason to not commit. So less than 2 months later, I was a member, and I got involved with things like handbells and orchestra and young adult group, ladies Bible study. And that was something that was definitely sparked by reading Boundless, because I was just thinking, okay, I need to, you know, make connections with some of these wiser, older women who have connections and will pray for me. And it allowed me to get involved with a godly woman who would give me some one-on-one time of just Bible study and prayer and kind of talking about things in my life. And also just definitely has increased my confidence in being willing to share with others that my desire is to be a wife and a mother. And that's pretty much my primary response when I'm talking to people about what I do and that I'm working on a master's in psychology, and people will ask me, well, so what are you going to do with that? And I usually just blurt out, I want to be a wife and mother. And a lot of times people find that kind of funny, but I usually have to throw in something of, well, you know, I don't think your education is ever wasted on your children. And actually, I've found that at least on a couple of occasions when I've shared this with girls that are perhaps around my age, college age or so, that it's something that they really want too, and they'll just kind of, their eyes will let up and be like, well, yeah, actually, I really want to do that too. But it might be that there's still that feeling that, well, no, I need to be going about making my career happen and stuff and not worrying about how marriage and family are going to work out.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll have to make that our next slogan. We're just going to say, I want to be a wife and mother, boundless.org. And
yeah.
We'll just put it on buses and stuff. Yeah, it'd be a t-shirt. Conversation starter. We'll start out in Southern California there. Now, okay, absolutely. So any favorite or surprising moments from the show or anything you think we should tackle in 2012?
Well, let's see. From at least the previous couple of years, I'd say that my favorite moments were definitely the interview with Lori Gottlieb, which definitely inspired part of the video. That
yeah.
If you've read the video, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Read the book. And also, surprisingly enough, one of the episodes that really caught my attention was the roundtable when you're talking, I know it was with Ashley Kittle, about the topic of bromance.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. just in, I was surprised because I know that at my undergrad school and with some of the guys I know down here, Christian guys, I've noticed that too, and it definitely has caused me to kind of speak up to some of the male Christian leaders around me and let them know of my concerns about that, and just with regard to maybe being sensitive to those who are struggling with same-sex desires, and also just really respecting marriage and how God intended the design of that.
Yeah, Sarah Kittle when she was volunteering for us. That's right. And I remember her telling me that, and I was like, what? Does that really happen? I was just like incredulous. I was like, who does that? That's crazy. Why are people just laying all over each other on couches?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's not in the older age bracket, yeah. but definitely among, college kids, Christian groups and stuff. But
crazy. All right. Any hopes for 2012 for us or in the boundless sphere?
I don't know. I mean, hopefully both of you and I will get married, but I don't know.
Amen.
If that'll happen.
Amen. We'll see. Hey,
yeah.
Y'all will certainly know if it happens to me. So
definitely. I know that this is probably an impossibility, but I definitely love and have been recently rereading some of the materials put out by Elizabeth Elliot. And just, I love how she doesn't mince words and just speaks the truth with regard to purity and relationships and how to go about them.
Yeah. Yeah. Would love to. You know, my mom has met her. My mom talked to her back in the day. Her husband now is actually from the same town in southern Norway that my family came from. I realized that.
Oh,
so I was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, oh, maybe I'll put Martha on it. We'll have Martha get us Elizabeth Elliot in 2012. She can do it. If anyone can do it, Martha can.
That would be great. And actually, I'm about a third Swedish, so.
Oh, see, we'll just rally. We'll rally all the Scandinavians.
That would be wonderful.
And make it happen. I'm also going to put Martha on ensuring that Lady Gaga becomes a believer, and then we're going to interview her, too, about her experience.
Okay.
So, yeah,
that would
putting
be
it on Martha's annual review.
Wonderful.
Dave
wonderful
will help us, too.
There.
Dave will make it happen. He'll put a call out. So Dave's from Southern California, you know, our engineer. We were just talking to him earlier, so. Yeah, he's always trying to tell me about different places. Really, he only talks about In and Out, but I try to look interested.
Oh, so. You know, that is probably one of the most important parts of visiting California.
It
and I
is.
Totally take
it's
it for
fun
granted.
To go to. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, Well, Emily, so great talking to you. Thanks for giving us a shout, and thanks for creating your wonderful video, the winner of our 200th episode contest, a video contest. So we will make sure that folks see that, and thanks for being a part of that challenge and really a part of the Boundless family in so many ways. So keep up the great work there in Southern California.
Okay, thank you.